Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
If it was men destroying the earth that was going to bring the ultimate devastation, and we were part of humanity, if it was people being evil towards people, if it was Satan that God can't control over the earth to destroy the earth, I would say we're not going to be saved from it. We're not going to be rescued from it, because Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. But he's not going to beat up his church. He's not angry with you, Christian, if you're not a Christian.
When the Bible talks about the wrath that is to come, God's wrath, should we be scared? We know that a great tribulation awaits this world. But if you are a follower of Christ, you are not appointed to God's wrath. With more on why we can have great faith and peace about this scripturally, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson, with more on the rapture in Revelation chapter 4.
Now, when this resurrection happens, it happens in three stages. For me, this is my understanding of it. We had Jesus that was resurrected, and the Bible says, as the first fruits of the resurrection. And we will be resurrected in his likeness. We will be like him when we're resurrected. Then, I believe, before the tribulation of the church, there is a resurrection, in which then those who are alive and remain will be changed. And then there will be people who become Christians during the tribulation period, and those who die during the tribulation period who are Christians, some will be beheaded, right? I mean, there's persecution. We'll get there. A lot of death in the rest of this book on Christians, those who become Christians. And so at the end of the tribulation period, there's another resurrection, and that's the last part of the first resurrection. The second resurrection is the second death. Now, let me just cover a few moments why I believe that the rapture of the church or this resurrection takes place before the tribulation period. To me, it is scriptural to the very core. The Bible tells us that you and I are forgiven and we will not experience the wrath of God. Romans 5:9. Much more now, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Makes sense, doesn't it? If you are Christian and you're sinning, God may discipline you. And his discipline's not going to be pleasant, but grievous. But he's not mad at you. It's not his wrath. I learned when I first had children, I read a book by Dr. James Dobson called The Strong-Willed Child, where we were taught to never discipline our children out of wrath. Put them in the room, shut the door, go away for 2 hours. When you're calmed down, come back and discipline them. God is not going to give us his wrath. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. These two are easy to remember. Romans 5:9, 1 Thessalonians 5:9. Okay? For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. And whether we wake or sleep, interesting phrase, whether we wake or sleep. What book is this in? 1 Thessalonians. Oh, it's chapter 5. It's only a few verses after chapter 4, verse 18. Whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with him. If context means anything, there's something there. Now, let me read to you an Old Testament passage that describes the tribulation period. Jesus said, there is a time coming on this earth that is worse than anything this world will ever see and worse than anything the world's ever going to see. In Daniel chapter 9, it is the 70th week of Daniel. It is a 7-year period broken to 2 3.5-year periods. It is defined by the revealing of the Antichrist in the beginning of it, the rebellion of the Antichrist in the middle of it, and the destruction of the Antichrist in the end of it. We'll be covering all of that in the book of Revelation. This time is a horrible time. I'm going to read about it and I'm going to give you a description. Isaiah 13:9-13. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger. This is the day of the Lord. And don't think of it as a 24-hour period. Think of it as a day. This is the tribulation period, the day of the Lord. You will see that by the time we get done here. to lay the land desolate, and he will destroy its sinners from it. For the stars of the heaven and the constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine. We'll find that as we study the book of Revelation. I will punish the world. Remember what it said into the faithful church? I'm going to keep you from the hour of trial to test those who dwell on the earth. Here he says in Isaiah, I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will halt the arrogance of the proud and will lay low the haughty of the terrible. I will make a mortal more rare than gold. The New Testament says that flesh becomes rare during the tribulation period. A man more than a golden wedge of Ophir. I don't know what that is, a golden wedge of Ophir. I imagine it's pretty rare though. Therefore, I will shake the heavens and will move the earth out of her place. It happens in Revelation. That's what it says. The heavens shake and the earth moves out of its place in the book of Revelation. This is the tribulation period. And then it says this, in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, in the day of his fierce anger. I would have no problem saying that we as Christians should go into the tribulation period if the source of the tribulation period wasn't heaven. It's the wrath that tears the first seal, and from heaven comes the wrath onto a world that has been rebellious towards God, and God will make men rare on the earth. If it was men destroying the earth that was going to bring the ultimate devastation, and we were part of humanity, if it was people being evil towards people, if it was Satan that God gave control over the earth to destroy the earth, I would say we're not going to be saved from it. We're not going to be rescued from it, because Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. But he's not going to beat up his church. He's not angry with you, Christian. If you're not a Christian. But if you're a Christian, he's not angry with you. He's not going to beat his bride up before he takes her to the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's like, rah! Come on, honey. Let's get some bandages on you. You're looking pretty beat up. By the way, I stole that from Dr. Ed Henson, the late Dr. Ed Henson, who was with us last March at our prophecy conference, and this has gone to be with the Lord. But that was his statement. God's not going to beat up his bride before he takes her into the chamber. He's not going to do it. So we're not appointed to God's wrath. And it's definitely God's wrath. In Luke 21, 34 and 36, I'm just going to quote this. Jesus said, pray that you would be counted worthy to escape all of these things that will come to pass upon those who dwell on the earth. How could it be then that we would go through it if we're to pray to escape? Someone said to me years ago, you just want to escape. Yeah. Yeah. What was your first clue? You don't? You're like, bring on the tribulation period? You're like, I want the wrath of the Lamb? I don't understand that. Luke 17, 24 and 26, it says that as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the coming of the Son of Man. So here's the kind of things you hear people say. Well, as it was in the days of Noah, so in the days of Noah, there were the Nephilim, and there were the sons of God and the daughters of men. There was demonic activity, and there was this perversion going on, and there were these Nephilim, these mighty men that were on the earth. And so that's what the earth is like today. Now, maybe it is, but I don't see it. I haven't seen it. I hear people talk about it, but I haven't seen it. And let's see if that's what Jesus meant when he said it will be like the days of Noah. And violence on the face of the earth. And I do see that. We're living in a pretty violent time. Maybe not as violent as the 20th century, by the way. 100 million soldiers died in the 20th century. 100 million soldiers. Pretty amazing number. Luke 17, 24 through 30, Jesus talks about the days of Noah. He says, as lightning flashes out of one part of heaven unto another, so also will the Son of Man be in his day. So on the day he returns, everybody's going to see him. And that's why it doesn't make any sense that he says, I'm going to come like a thief in the night, because everybody's going to see him. There's two different events. But this is the day of the Lord. But then he says, and as it will be in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. So on his day, he returns like lightning flashes from the east to the west, and everyone sees him. But the days leading up to that are the days of Noah, are the days of the Son of Man. So it's going to be like the days of Noah, to be the days of the Son of Man. Here's what they did. They ate, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. And when the flood came and destroyed them all, likewise also it will be in the days of Lot. So he's saying here, this is the thing that's going to be happening the day that they are destroyed. They ate, they drank, they married, and they were given in marriage. Is any of that going to be going on at the end of the tribulation period? Have you read it? People are hiding under rocks and crying out to be hidden from the wrath of the Lamb. Hey, I just wanted to give you invitation to my marriage. Where's that lamb at? You know? There, no one's getting married. Yeah, they're eating and drinking, but they're not like, you know, having a big, you know, Thanksgiving dinner. No one's going to be doing that at the end of the tribulation period. So it has to be at a time when everything looks the same. So Jesus said, I'm coming at a time you don't expect it. If it's the end of the tribulation period, it's apocalypse now. Marlon Brando, helicopters, smoke, fire, the whole thing. But if it comes at a time you don't expect it, it's got to be like today. It's got to be like it was today when Jesus comes. And it's the beginning of his wrath. He says, likewise, in the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold. They planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. So even will it be on the day the Son of Man is revealed. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they built, until Lot and his family was taken by the hand and removed from the city, and then sudden destruction came upon them. What is Jesus saying? On the day we are taken out, sudden destruction comes upon them. If I got to direct a movie on the Resurrapture, which would be a cool name for the movie, I would have things falling apart all around the world before you ever know anyone's missing. That's probably what's going to happen. On the day they entered the ark, the flood came and took them all away. On the day Lot was taken by his hand and taken out of the city, destruction came. It's not going to be like there's just going to be like 2 or 3 years of where'd all the Christians go? Sure, I'm glad they're gone. Boy, were they annoying. All this Jesus stuff. Have you given your life to Jesus? Now they're gone. Glad. Now Jesus said this about coming back. John 14, 1 through 3. Let your hearts not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. He left 2,000 years ago preparing places for us. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He doesn't say, I will come again and establish my kingdom on the earth with you. He says, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I've had people tell me that this is the intermediate state. This is Jesus coming for the Christian who dies and bringing them back with him so that they can be with him in the intermediate state. But the lingo that's used, I will come again, is not the lingo of I'm going to come and get you and keep you with me while in, you know, it's not the language of the intermediate state. It's the promise of the return. I'll come again and I'll receive you. Now, we could take some time to look a little bit closer at the book of Revelation, but I won't at this particular point. I'm just going to make a couple of points that I hope are strong. When you deny the rapture, and now understanding it's the resurrection, right? It's the resurrection of the living and the dead. When you deny the rapture, when you say, I don't believe in the rapture, I just want to let you know I'm in that camp, I don't believe in the rapture, you're denying a very tenet of Christianity. You're denying the resurrection. What are you? Develop your thoughts for me. Develop your scriptures. Show me something. Give me something as to why you would say, I just want you to know I don't believe in the rapture. I'm not saying you don't believe in the pre-trib like I do. I believe it's the pre-trib. And I believe it's pre-trib because I think the Bible teaches it. But could I be wrong? Sure. What if there's someone here who's mid-trib or post-trib? Now, I'm so pre-trib I don't eat post-toasties. But you may be pre-trib and you may be here. But I don't take you out of the kingdom. You're a brother and sister in Christ. I was asked a question at a pastor's conference as to whether or not I would have someone on staff who was pre-trib. Or if they weren't pre-trib, would I have them on staff? And I took the long about answer to say, we welcome people in the church that have a different view on eschatology. We even welcome people to be a part of our church, to greet people at the door, to whatever. All we ask is that they wouldn't be divisive. If they know they have a different stand than us on something, then don't be divisive in the church. Just don't talk about it. Just when somebody says, you know, what do you believe about the rapture? Just say, what a beautiful day outside. Find some way to not be divisive about it. No, I really think they could say, I don't really believe in the pre-trib rapture, but I'm, you know, I just don't want to talk about it. But we would accept them because we think we're all part of Christ. But when you deny the resurrection, the rapture, you put yourself in the camp with the Jehovah's Witnesses, which is a bad camp to be in. Because they do violence to the scriptures for the stances that they have. And if you find yourself in agreement with them, you have to ask, am I doing violence to the scriptures to be able to do that? What are you going to do with we who are alive and remain will be caught up in the air with the Lord to forever be with the Lord? And we will be changed in a moment and twinkling of an eye. And don't forget the word we is there. It's not and they. It's we, Christians. What are you going to do with those? All right, three quick things in closing. The rapture of the church, as Paul stated, is a part of the resurrection of the saints. And would be better served if we would learn that as the church and speak of it as the resurrection of the living and the dead. The living, those who are alive, the dead, those who have died. Two, tribulation is not a time of trouble only. It is God's wrath. And God's not mad at me. He's not mad at you. He'll take you out before the time. Number three, Jesus told us to be ready. We don't know when he's going to return. My advice, and if you guys have been going for a while, you know that this is true. My advice is live your lives. You know, find a fiance, get married, have babies, plan your retirement, and keep your eyes on the skies. Because Jesus may interrupt all your plans. It may be 100 years from now. You say, no way. Do you see the world around us? I do. But if I were alive when Hitler was alive, I'd have thought those were the times. If I was alive when Israel became a nation in 1948, if I was a preacher then, I'd have been like, get ready. Jesus is coming back. Israel's returned to Jerusalem. But he's waited this long. So he faithfully, what does the Bible tell us? What did Jesus tell us to do? Occupy until I come. Occupy until I come. Do the work of an evangelist. You are an ambassador of Christ as if you are imploring people to be reconciled to God. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your word. Lord, we are so thankful for all you're doing through it. And Lord, as we consider this concept of the resurrection and the rapture being a part of it, Lord, we thank you that we see that in these two resurrection passages that discuss what's going to happen to those who are alive when the resurrection happens. And Lord, we pray for this world. Let there be a revival. Let more people get saved. Lord, we know that you desire that all would be saved and all would come to the knowledge of the truth. And so we pray that you would allow more to come to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I want to, first of all, ask you to keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed for a couple of minutes. But I want to give you an opportunity, if you're here today, you have not given your life to Christ. Maybe even a special plea to those of you that may be playing a game. You may be pretending that you gave your life to Christ for whatever reason, but it's time to not pretend. And if you've never invited him in, God's got a plan for you. God's got a purpose for you. God made you, and the Bible says he made you for good works for you to walk in them. He has a plan. He has a purpose for your life. And you will never find that plan as long as you are trying to live your own. And this is why Jesus said, if you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll save it. And so he's standing at the door and knocking. And if you open up, let him in. He'll dine with you. If you're here today, you're ready to give your life to Christ, you want to now live for him, then I'm going to ask you to do something simple. Right where you are, just raise your hand now. Lift your hand up high so I could see it. Be bold. I want to see you give your life to Christ tonight. God bless you, ma'am. And God bless you, sir. God's got a plan for you guys. Anyone else? Just raise your hand. The Bible says in John 6:44, God bless you, sir, all the way to the left, by the way. That's great. The Bible says in John 6:44 that no one comes to the Son unless the Father draws him. That means if he's drawing you now, you're hearing his voice. God, the creator of the universe, is calling you to be his child, to have an inheritance of everything with him. If you will say, I'm now want you. So I'll scan the room this last time. Want to give your life to Christ? This is your moment. God bless you, ma'am. And again, for all of you who've raised your hand, God has a plan. It's greater than you think. God has a plan for you. You can put your hands down. And I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin has separated me from you. But I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life. And I turn from my sin that I can live for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evening at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and noon. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Sunday morning 9:30 service and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.